Chris, how difficult was the decision? Was there a part of you that actually potentially contemplated giving it one more crack?
No, there's no part. So I couldn't say it was an easy decision, because to walk away from something that has almost been my life's passion was challenging, but I thought 99% once I'd hurt myself that it was an ACL, and not for a second did I think I was going to play another game of footy once that news was confirmed.
You played like a live fan, Chris coming off the ground.
Say again?
It seemed like it lasted forever, that farewell and coming off the ground.
Well, it didn't feel like it lasted as long as Lenny Hayes' farewell when he had the six-week tour of duty. So, look, it was a pretty surreal moment. I was just trying to get off the ground, but the umpires wouldn't stop the game. So I said, look, my knee's stuffed. You need to stop the game. They said, we can only stop the game if the stretcher comes out. So we called the stretcher out and didn't get carried out on a chariot, but on a medevac. So that's how it ended. But you don't get to write your ending. But as I touched on, it's been an incredibly fortunate journey. Not a magical ending, but a still very special 14 years.
Given the fact that you would have known that you were nearer to the end than the beginning of your career, did you think that perhaps you'd have steeled yourself a little bit, knowing that one injury was going to potentially end a career anyway, and in some respects you'd mentally prepared a little bit?
I knew the end was coming. In that sense, hasn't been a huge surprise, but I guess just the suddenness of it has caught me a little bit off guard. But I've got time now. I've got to dedicate a fair bit of time to the physical injuries and getting them right and seeing what else needs to be done, and take a chance for a deep breath and regroup mentally and go from there.
What is next, Chris?
Look, I think it'll be something entrepreneurial. I'd like to start or buy a small business, but I think that'll probably be a couple of years down the track. And I guess I'll use the next period of time to really assess the different options. But, I don't see myself working in football, certainly in a full-time capacity. And I'm conscious of trying to be excited about opportunities that'll arise that I haven't been able to do throughout my footy career, and I'm looking forward to exploring them.
Will it be hard to let football go?
Incredibly hard, yeah. And just seeing the world through the eyes of someone who's no longer a footballer is incredibly strange. Since I got drafted, but really since the age of 16, every decision in my life has been based around how that'll affect my football. And immediately that's no longer the case. So, there's a whole range of emotions that go with that. But, I'm pretty clear it's going to be a huge change.
You thought about retiring last year. Are you glad you did go on? Because it's been a strange old year.
No, clearly it was the wrong decision to go on. I know some people get tempted in times like this to try and spin everything positively. As it turned out, it was the wrong decision, but it was very much made for the right reasons. I think if I'd have made the wrong decision for the wrong reasons, then I'd regret that. But, my motives were pure, and the decision-making process was sound. As it turned out, it hasn't been a great year. But I'll certainly be left with no what-ifs.
What was the wrong decision? Because of the results, or because of the way you played, or because of the injury?
Because I didn't plan to win, and I've got to have a knee recon in 2 weeks. they're the two reasons that jump out at me immediately. But as I said, not for a second have I lost sight of just how fortunate a career I've had.
How close were you to joining another club, Carlton, when you left West Coast?
It was a decision that had to be made, and we thought through a lot of different options. I ran into Adrian Dodoro at the races in October, and he said, "Oh, we were wasting our time with you because the decision with Carlton was done mid-June, which was completely incorrect." So yeah, it was a decision to be made, and really thankful I chose the Carlton Football Club. Joining a football club is a little bit like having a kid. That part a little bit of that footy club becomes a part of you, and this is a very special club to be a part of. And as I said to the players, I'll never be slagging them off in the media if they have a crappy loss, and I'll never be too far away. So I'm sure I'll have a connection with this place and West Coast as well for the rest of my life.
You see yourself in the media?
No, I don't think so. And I don't say that begrudgingly, you know, to the media. You guys pay our bills. So, I'm excited about exploring some different opportunities, and it's a big old world out there. I'm looking forward to getting busy living in it. Oh, Billy hasn't said too much. I told Oscar I wasn't going to play football anymore, and he said, well, that makes sense. I think you should play soccer. I said, probably not going to work either, buddy. He's good. He knows Nick Nat's still playing, so he's excited about that. He knows walkie-talkie's still playing, so he's excited about that. Whenever we play footy, he's got to be Nick Nat, and I've got to be Andrew Walker. So the fact that those...
more time with your family now?
You know what? It probably means less time once I really launch into something in a commercial world in terms of contact hours. But I think what people underestimate is the that constant sort of mental drain that football does weigh on you. So when I'm playing with the kids and I know I've got a game in 2 days' time and things start to get tight, or it's hard to be as present sometimes you'd like to be with the kids. So not having to worry about those sort of things. We'll be able, once the knee's healed, we'll be able to play rough stuff footy, as Oscar calls it, and I won't have in the back of my mind the fact that I've got to, get up for something else in a couple of days' time. So I'm looking forward to that dynamic.
And how tough has it been on a week-by-week basis to get yourself up physically to play?
It's just been incredibly hard. Yeah, it really has. I missed a game, Sydney game, 2 weeks ago, and I remember waking up on the Thursday and my shoulder was hanging out, it felt crap and my knee was sore, and I sort of just felt nauseous thinking, am I going to play in 2 days' time? And then I woke up and like, oh, I don't have to play this week, and it was sort of like good, I can buy myself a bit more time. So just to be able to give the body a rest, but more importantly, and over the mind to stop having to tell the body that you've got to do this thing which you're not really able to do anymore. I'm looking forward to that.
Do you have any clue about the impact you've had on players? That moment with Cam Guthrie a couple of weeks ago, did that highlight to you the role model that you've been and the inspiration you've been?
Yeah, that was a special moment. And it's not something you give a lot of thought to as a player. You're sort of just stuck in the day-to-day and trying to do your best, but I've indulged a bit the last few days and read some of the things that have been written about me, and I've never read a huge amount of the media about me, but it has been nice to hear some of those comments that have come forward.
Can you just take us through the highlights that Premiership captain and Norm's been around?
Yeah, well, the Premiership one stands head and shoulders above the rest. That was such a special day for a whole number of reasons. And in terms of Carlton, I think probably the Richmond final we won, that was a really special day. And the Essendon final as well. Just days where the crowd was really noisy. I just remember the noise of that Richmond final would be the loudest that I played in front of. And, it just felt like you were really at one with the whole Carlton army. And that was really special.
Is there a lot of talk about where footy's headed? Is it as fun as it
doesn't feel that fun right now. I think it's just changing, and I don't think that's good or bad, but it is changing, and it always will change. I think one of the main challenges for the AFL is to have a game that people can still identify with, that still is representative of the game that's played in suburban grounds on a Saturday afternoon, and a game that's filled with players that they can identify with as well. And that's a big challenge because people who can't help themselves from having one beer too many, they relate to players that can't help themselves from having one beer too many when they're out after five or six. And the reality is a lot of those players don't survive in the modern day game. There's a you know, a lot of the characteristics that make good players now are not human characteristics, in a sense. And I think that's a battle for the AFL to try and keep humanising the players as much as possible in an environment where they're asked to do things which are contrary to normal human urges.
You said you don't see yourself being involved too much in football, but is that an area where potentially someone like you could help the league going forward, help them identify ways to maintain that connection?
I think they've got some really good people working there. So that's not something I've given a lot of thought to at this stage.
What then of the club that you're finishing up at, it's the Carlton Footy Club, the situation it's in, what message do you have for the players in this question?
I feel like, I think we've bottomed out and the growth is starting to come. The message was around that it's a group that's filled with really good values, and not to see that as a flippant remark, but it's something that will be hold them in good stead going forward. Murph and his leadership team are working really hard to keep the entire playing group accountable for what they want to stand for, and I guess just really encourage them to keep going down that path, but to make sure that individual responsibility remained really strong, because at the end of the day the club's made up of lots of different individuals. But I'm really hopeful and confident that significant growth is and will keep occurring at this footy club.
Was there a window, Chris, when you felt the same good line of
waiting? No, probably not, in hindsight. 2011 was the best year I was involved with at the club. But, the reality is we won one final that year, and people can say, kick away from making a prelim, and it's still a million miles away. In the harsh reality of just how hard it is to win premiership. So that was the closest, but as a club, we were still a fair way off.
Do you have a favourite player, Chris, whether it's a teammate or an opponent for a duel in a certain game,
do
you remember?
No, not really. There's been lots of different, special duels. Perhaps a couple of the match-ups with Adam Goods when we were both up and going back in my former life over in the West. Are probably some of the more special matchups that spring to mind.
When you left West Coast and played against them for the first time in the matchup against Adam Selwood, and there's talk about the sledge that you gave them, any chance you can share it?
No, that sledge can never be proven. there's no taped evidence of that, so we'll leave that alone.
Just taped evidence of the shoulders?
Yep. Yep. So, I won't be the first ex-player to have body parts to whinge about. But I guess to have, two shoulder recos by the age of 17 to get 279 games out, they've served me pretty well. Particularly the right shoulder's paid a pretty big cost for it as well. So, I'll be mindful of that, and it's going to be something I've got to deal with for the rest of my life.
How much did you change your game from the explosive West Coast player through the demands of having to adjust to what your body was telling you when you came here, a bit more inside player from them, it seems, from an outside perspective?
Yeah, it was just what was needed at the time. I sort of lost a bit of my speed from the groin and sort of subsequent back issues, and I just had to adapt. So I did. So it was, that's really what you do as a footballer. You make do with what you've got and try and contribute as best you can.
Most of that damage is that the last few games at West Coast, where you said you probably shouldn't have played, but obviously that damage you
long term. Yeah, well. It's hard to know. I mean, the groins were pretty sore, but yeah, I certainly don't think it helped. I think that and, I got a bit of a dicky back out of that. And there was certainly a cost. Yeah, there was a cost to that, but that was completely my own doing. There was no one else responsible for that.
And very few negative points, a couple of tribunal incidents. How do you reflect on those in a long career?
Yeah, just with I feel like I've been involved in thousands of moments on a football field. A few of them were poor decisions, but and I remember them in line with the thousands of good decisions I made. That's how I make my peace with that.
I think there's a few fans that want to know if your son grows up, do you want him to play footy, and which club does he pick under Father Sunwell?
Well, he was playing for the Owls last night, which was a new team he's invented. I think we're green and red. Pink and purple. So, look, he could do whatever he wants. I think he'll probably start Auskick next year, and I don't have strong emotions if he chooses to play footy or if he doesn't. That'll be up to him.
Chris, Barry Hall led Sydney to a flag of finish and said he felt like the Dogs man. How do you feel? How do you think
he'll look back? Yeah, well, I think... Look, Oscar Barrack for the Blues, and I think we'll be a Carlton family. But I feel a really strong connection to both clubs. I captained a premiership at West Coast and have some great mates there and have some great mates here and a really strong connection to this club. So, probably hard to split him, but I guess we'll sort of be a Carlton family going forward.
And making that transition from footy player to footy fan, how much footy do you anticipate sort of consuming when you take the kids to the footy on the weekend?
Yeah, we will. I'll see how this year goes because, it'll still be pretty fresh this year. And I think I'll start watching the Carlton games, and if that gets a bit challenging, well, I'll have the right to switch off and do something else. So I'll just suck it and see with that. But longer term, football will always play a part of my life, and I'm sure we'll spend plenty of times going to AFL games.
What's your advice for young players coming into the game now, give them one or two pieces of advice?
What are the bits of advice? Look, I think one of the main things, if I had my time over again, would have just been to appreciate the good moments a little bit more. I was always so ambitious and focused on what was coming next that I probably didn't recognise as much when something special had really happened. So maybe I would have tweaked that if I had my time over.
We'll go one more.
If you can sum it up in a few words, how do you want to be remembered in your career?
Just as a country boy with a heart of gold. Not being from the country, that's going to make it tricky, but we never know.
Our CEO would just like to finish off with something.
Not much, Chris, other than thank you, mate, on behalf of everyone here. The profound impact you've had on football generally, and our club in particular. We spoke about the standard of the players and the staff. On behalf of everyone who's here, congratulations, you've earned a good rest, mate.
Cheers. Thank you.